I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't need a show of hands, but think about all the times you've had to renovate. Have you ever been involved in renovation projects? I know that every year when I do a walkthrough with the trustees, I know inwardly they shudder because I'm going to point something out that needs renovating. And in the 8 years I've been here, we've undergone a lot of renovations. It's a tough job. You know how tough it is at home, don't you? When you've had to renovate, when you have to paint. And once you paint one room, the other rooms start looking a little ratty, and you need to go further. When we look at the assembly that came together in the book of Nehemiah, they had just finished a renovation project. But it wasn't just renovating one room or one home. It was renovating the entire town. They had come out of the exile and they had to come back to a torn up Jerusalem. They took care of their homes. They built new homes. They rebuilt the temple. It certainly wasn't like the first temple, and it wasn't as beautiful, but it was serviceable. And then they had to build the walls around the town and fortify these walls so that marauding people could not enter into their beloved city. It was a rough renovation project, and I'm sure there were cost overruns, and I'm sure that there were arguments. In fact, some of them are written in the scripture that there were some fights over these renovations. And then there were the finishing touches. And one of the greatest finishing touch to this renovation was not something physical, but it was something spiritual. They had done all this work, and then they called for the scribe Ezra, and they said, there's one thing missing. They had been so long without a word from God. They had been so long in captivity. They knew of the stories, but they wanted to hear the words again. And so they asked Ezra to come with the book of Torah and speak the words of God. And he got up on a high platform. They couldn't contain people in the temple, so they had them out by the water gate. I'm so sad that water gate is now not thought of in a good way. But this water gate was a good place to be. It was the town square where people met. And so he was up on a high platform and he was reading the original script in Hebrew. Of course, by this time, the people didn't know what he was talking about. So he had a delegation of translators who were going around translating into the common language. And so the people listened to the word of God for the first time, and the Bible says something broke inside them. And I'm sure that they felt broken because they saw how far they had come away from the ideal that had been this nation of Israel. This was their heritage, and it broke them. And so they were weeping as one. You can imagine this crowd just bursting into tears as they're listening to words that they hadn't heard in generations. And I have an image in my mind of Ezra sending the Levites out with rags, saying, here, dry your eyes and blow your noses. Stop crying. This day is holy to the Lord. And so, because it's holy, I want you to eat fat stuff and drink sweet wine. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime I've heard the word holy, it's never been associated with a party. Anyone who's holy usually is stern and somber and frigid and cold and someone who's otherworldly. I never think of holy in terms of a party. But they said, if you're going to be holy, you've got to party. And they said, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And not only are you to go out and have a party, but you're also to take for those who can't party with you, who don't have the money for a big feast, you bring the party to them. What a wonderful gift and a wonderful story that is for us today. That if you really want to be holy, you party and you bring the party to people who don't have anything. I have an aunt in my background who was a joyful person, and I've mentioned her in this church that she had told us that the secret to her joy was that every day she woke up and she said, I can choose this day. I can either choose to despair or I can choose joy. So this day when I wake up, I'm going to choose joy. She was tapping into that well of joy that she had in Christ Jesus. And I've always thought of that, and I love to send that out to people and tell people, when you get up in the morning, choose joy. But the only problem is, I don't. I know I should wake up in the morning and say, well, I can choose despair or joy, so I choose joy. But I'll tell you how I wake up in the morning. My cell phone goes off. That's my alarm clock. And it's tuned to Darth Vader's Imperial March. That's a Star Wars reference. Anytime that march appeared in Star Wars, it meant doom. So you see where I'm going with this. And then I take my little computer, that cell phone, and I read the headlines of the day, which make me really cranky. And then I get up. And I do pray, but the prayer is not a joyful one. It's, you know, get me through. I'm sure none of you have ever felt like that. This might be only my confession. So how do we receive the joy of the Lord? I'm so glad it doesn't depend on my mood, because I'd never be joyful. But I know it depends on something else. It's a welling up within that comes as a gift of the Spirit of Almighty God. And the one time I saw this among many where I had seen this type of joy was a day when I was particularly cranky. It was a few years ago in December, and December's always a very busy month in this church, and I'm always running around. And that particular weekend, I had been running crazy, and I promised myself a long winter's nap after church. Thought I need it. I could feel the fatigue coming on. And so I was getting things finished up here after church, and I received a call that disturbed all my plans. The call was from an emergency room down in Arkansas that said, your brother was in a bad accident, and he's calling for you. And then they listed all his injuries. Now, some of them I understood. I understand broken bones. But then they said something about an injury that I did not understand. And so after I got off the phone with the emergency room technician, I called my sister, the nurse, and I mentioned that one injury. And I said, what does that mean? She said, it means you pack up and you go now to Bud's side. And she said, and I will do the same. She was in Pennsylvania, I'm in Wisconsin, he's down in Arkansas, 2 days' drive. Boy, was I not only cranky, but worried. And so that afternoon, I had to get in the car and start driving to Arkansas. I was not in a good mood. And I kept calling the hospital for updates. And of course, if you've ever called the hospital for updates, you know how frustrating that can be. So I had no idea what I was facing. And as I'm driving, all of a sudden, I started to sing. And I started to sing loudly. I remember some of the songs. One was, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. In every dark and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. And as I drove, the The songs became louder and louder and more joyful and boisterous. And all the way down there, even as anxious as I was, the joy of the Lord was my strength. You see, joy has nothing to do with circumstance. It has everything to do with the power and the grace of God. I wish I was like my aunt. Maybe I'll grow up and be as holy as she was, and I will learn that joy. For 75 of her 95 years, she taught Sunday school. And she always asked for the hardest class, the class where the kids were completely disaffected and annoyed and didn't want to be there, because she knew by the time she was through with them, they were going to be a happy group. And they always were, because the joy of the Lord was her strength. Is the joy of the Lord your strength today? And even when you wake up crabby, we can still tap into that well of grace and of joy. And as we do that, as we become a holy people, a partying people, a people who exude joy, then we can bring that feast to others, to the people who are in darkness, to the people who are sad, to the people who are struggling. One of the greatest joys when I was down there with my brother, I had to spend 3 weeks and I missed Christmas here. My sister came to my side and she helped out. And then when she had to leave, another brother came, Stevie. And Stevie took time off from his holiday. He was to have Christmas dinner with his family, but he sacrificed and came to my side to help me with Bud. And Christmas night, of course, we were very tired. We were at his side most of the time. So we decided to have a feast in the hotel room. And our feast consisted, I did spaghetti, dumped a can of clam sauce on it, and he brought the Oreo cookies. And we had a feast. And then when we sat by Bud's side after he woke up, Stevie started to tell stories that had Buddy shrieking with such laughter that he kept hitting his morphine button because he was hurting, but he was in joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we are to be holy people, we got to have a big smile on our faces. Is the joy of the Lord your strength? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that even the grumpiest of us can have joy within ourselves through you. And we ask, O Lord, that you would plant that joy within us in spite of our circumstances, in spite of our personalities, in spite of all that is going on in this world, may we, like the people of old, sense and reflect your joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you